All right, we want to continue what we've been talking about. Let's go back. Where will we go? To Mark chapter 4, just for a review. I used to be in education until I got out of it. And I learned the hard way that people don't hear things the first time. Hallelujah. That's why I teach series. And often when I would establish a truth in a church, it would take me a couple years for the word to be made flesh and dwell among us. But since I'm not going to be here a couple years, but I've been coming here for 20 years, sometime I got to turn my face away when I see certain people out in the congregation because I have memories. Hallelujah. And not preaching memories. Yes, Lord. I'm not saying it's scandal. It's just drama. That'd be probably the more accurate thing. But I'm always glad to come back to Camden and meet people and see how God's intervened in their life. Amen. And by the grace of God, sometimes because of us, and a lot of times in spite of us, God's got us where we're supposed to be. And here tonight, I want to start with the one verse that we looked at, and starting off this week, Mark 4, verse 35. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let's go, or let's pass over to the other side. Verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship. But thanks be to God, it says in chapter 5, verse 1, and they came over unto the other side. It was the other year when we were here, a couple years ago, or another year, I forget time, time blurs together. I spoke about endurance, and Pastor Jerry kept saying, Bill, it's the best year ever. And Elaine was sick with the flu, and he came home and says, what's Bill speaking on? She's lying there, you know. What's Bill speaking on? Endurance. You know, that's really not the word you want to hear when half your body seems in outer space. But anyhow, God gave supernatural endurance. Are you glad when the word is given and it's under prophetic anointing or even under the anointing of God's Spirit, it causes you to be a person that gets prepared? And before Jesus came, John the Baptist showed up and he prepared the way of the Lord. And I'm glad God doesn't drop things on us without preparation. Amen. For example, we're working in the Middle East. You say, what training? Did you go to Arabic school or Farsi school like my father-in-law did when he worked in Iran or my wife lived there for 40? No, I didn't go to any of that. I tell you what I went through. Before I found Christ, I was in international drug trade in the Middle East. And when I got saved, all that garbage went through the cross. Are you glad God is the great recycler? He takes the trash of your past, puts it through the cross, and turns it into treasure. So I understand the Arab culture. I understand as much as any person can the Middle East. It's crazy, so just some insanity. But God can take the worst and recycle it in your life. And not that you stay in the worst, but I'm glad that God prepares us. Before we knew him, he knew us. And even though we didn't respond to the call of God, God was still preparing us. I said, God was still preparing us. And there are people in prison today that God's preparing for a major call in their life. There's a guy, I know he was in the Hells Angels. He murdered a lot of people. He got thrown out of the Marines for killing three people that attacked him. I mean, he was bad, but now he's born again and he's getting healed. He's getting delivered. I believe God in the midst of all that evil, he's a part of. God has preparation on that man to reach people no one else can. And he's already stopped murders by telling people don't do it. He's so feared in the state he lives in. Imagine this, before the Hell's Angels does anything and he's out of the angels, they call him, can we go to this city? Can we do it? That's authority. Amen? So imagine when that gets in the spirit, what God can do. You see, the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1, he said, God called me from my mother's womb. He separated me from my mother's womb. And Saul of Tarsus didn't respond, but God was still working when he memorized large portions of the Word of God. When he got saved, that went through the cross, and Paul was the one that God entrusted with the revelation of the new covenant, the revelation of the gifts of the Spirit, the revelation of love, and the revelation of the church, the revelation of spiritual warfare. I'm glad God can take the mess of our past and turn it into a masterpiece. And only he can do that. So here, they came to the other side. And God wants us to understand, this year is not a year of just grinding through the same motions or going around the same mountains. This is a year in which God wants you to advance, hear His word, and go to the other side. Now, I'm glad when God says go to the other side, it's His idea. They didn't say, let's go over the other side. Because when things happen, I said, when things happen, we can say, God, this is you. This is your idea. It wasn't our idea. And if you've told us we're going to the other side, there's no storm that can sink us. Maybe your background, you had a divorce. Maybe you had a couple divorces. Maybe you're in a sickness battle right now. Maybe you're in a court battle right now. I'm telling you, no storm can keep you from going to the other side. No storm can keep you from going where God says. Now, you can prolong a storm. You know, some people, they keep going around the same mountain until they decide there's a better route to go. Of course, just in California. But anyhow, I don't want to go through unnecessary hassle. Amen? I want to go to the other side as quickly as possible. And when they went on the way, there came, I didn't go into this too much, but your pastor checked it out in the Greek, so he knew I was being accurate. When they got over there started a storm, and Jesus said, "Peace, be still." And in the original language, that's shut up. Aren't you glad Jesus knows how to shut certain things up? Like Daniel, he shut up the lion's mouth. And I'm glad he sure shut up some things and some people in my life. He said, shut up in authority. And now why? Why would you tell wind and waves to shut up? Because, again, look in the Greek, the word wind here is spirit. This was a spirit-induced storm to destroy. May I say this, there's a lot of storms that we cause, like Jonah. But then there's storms that the enemy activates to try to keep us from arriving in our destiny. But I got good news for you. The one is on board in your life that's unsinkable. The one is on board in your life who's not going down. He's going over, therefore you're going over. Peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was great calm. You know, I've known some great warfare over the past few years, but I'm looking for great calm. Everybody needs R&R. Everyone needs that place. And he said unto them, why are you fearful? And you don't have any faith. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what type of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? He was the ultimate expression of dominion that Adam never was. The last Adam. And here's the good news. The works I do, you'll do. And greater works. I tell you, the dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ is getting ready to flow through His church. I said the dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ is getting ready to flow through His church. The dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ is getting ready to flow through young people. Example, I was in Cambodia and I was very upset. I'd brought a big team and here were just 300 or 400 and I looked, it was young people. And the year before we had 10 times that. 3,000, and this year was election time, so the government said you can't have big meetings, and I said, oh, well, we'll get all the apostles and pastors, and most of them didn't come. There was hardly any. So I said, what's going on with these young people here? And the overseer, the apostle of the work, he didn't even know, so we were worried. So ministered, it was all right. I spoke on the gifts of the Spirit, and there was a guy there who has a good healing ministry, and certain things happened, but nothing of a high magnitude, I thought. How many hear that? I thought. But after we had left, these young people got together, this is amazing, without any supervision, and that's dangerous, but they got together and they said this, we don't want to just hear about the gifts of the Spirit, we want to have the gifts of the Spirit. So they organized themselves without any permission into teams and started to travel all over Cambodia. You know what the end result was? Hundreds of thousands of people came to Christ with all the gifts of the Spirit in operation. Some young people said, we're going to have dominion over the wind and the waves, over the storms that have killed up to a third of this nation. We're going to take back what hell has destroyed. Do you want to stop storms and bring a mighty coming of the wind of heaven in the place of the wind of hell? So here, I didn't know what God was doing. Even they didn't know what God was doing. And He's right there with them in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I promise you, God is going to raise up a people of dominion. You see, I believe the next world empire is not Islamic or communistic or secular or New Age. I believe the next coming world empire is the kingdom of God. Not when the Lord comes, but way before the Lord comes. God's going to have a kingdom people. Do you want to be such a people who exercise dominion? We're going to the other side. And as we saw the other services, the other side is where when they got there, the highest level demonic power that ever came in a human being confronted Jesus. And he took care of that storm too. What was he trying to teach his disciples? Because Jesus didn't send them to a Bible school. They had on-the-job training. Amen? Like I had this kid travel with me once. He said, I want you to teach me how to preach. I said, oh, no, boy, I'm not going to teach you how to preach. I'm going to teach you how to serve. I said, you hack me for a few years. You go anywhere in the world. So he was from New York City, Italian. You know, he almost had to build a new door to get him through. His head was kind of prideful, you know, and he knew everything he thought. But I, you know, unlike a lot of people I know in these parts, that kid could not be offended. I mean, he just couldn't. Maybe because he grew up under his father's ministry. But anyhow, he just couldn't be offended. And I'd say, get up, it's 12, and we got to pray midnight. And he'd get up. And I'd say, get up, it's 3 in the morning. And he'd get up. And, you know, within a few years, he ceased being with me and went to be with R.W. Shambach, you know who he was, and became very powerful there as well. And now he has two churches, one in the inner city, full of minorities. And then he has a church of 400 that can seat 1,000. He's going to pack that thing out because I'll tell you something. He chose to go to the other side. If you're easily offended, you're not going to go to the other side. If you allow nothing to produce something, you're not going to go to the other side. If you allow people or your past to stand in the way, you're not going to go to the other side. But I want to tell you, I want to be someone who doesn't deal in the minor leagues. I want to deal in the major things of God. I'm going to the other side. And then when that guy got free, he wanted to come with Jesus. Jesus said, no, go tell your friends what God has done. What such a magnitude? It said he published in Decapolis the great things the Lord had done. And I'd researched that. The word Decapolis means 10 cities. God wants your influence to supernaturally be enlarged here. Do you want to go to the other side? I said, do you want to go to the other side? The Lord didn't say stay in Jerusalem. When they tried that, Elaine, there came persecution, scattered those people that loved that Jewish culture and loved that Jewish food and loved that temple. God scattered them. May I say this? I'd rather follow the voice of the Holy Spirit than have God scatter me through some Saul of Tarsus. Are you going to the other side this year, church? Is it in your spirit, man, to go to the other side? Do you want to go where you've never gone and do what you've never done? So when the storm comes this time, no, it's to take you. I just thought I'd say that. Hallelujah. Now I want to go tonight further. Let's go to the book of Romans. And this came to me by revelation. This is you're the second ones that have heard it in the United States. I was in the middle of Russia and God began to speak it to me. But I believe it's so important because if we're going to the other side, we've got to be people once we get there. We stay there. I don't want to visit the other side. I don't want to just be a tourist to the other side. I want to be someone that enters into what God brought me to the other side for. Like Israel, when he brought them to the other side in Joshua chapter 1, did he just bring them there to take pictures of the city or cities or conquer? He took them across the Jordan to conquer. They went to the other side. And like Israel, when they went through the Red Sea to go to the other side, they didn't do that so they could lay on the beach on the other side of the Red Sea. That's a resort there now, by the way. They went to the other side because God was bringing them into their inheritance. And he wanted them to leave Egypt and the bondage they were used to far behind. You know, it's easy to see bondage other places. Got some people living in Texas and travel up in north. And on. My daughter lives in Vermont. And when you talk about winter here, you guys need deliverance. You don't know what winter is. You almost need a guard dog to get a guard dog and a snow dog to get you out of her house sometime. I mean, snow like here, 2 foot of snow. And the way they talk up there, dog and water, I almost need to interpret times. Put you both in a room, you wouldn't understand each other. Kind of like my cousin Vinny or something. It's something else. But I can tell you, and you could see real plain their bondages. How about yours? Are you willing to leave them behind and go on dry ground like Israel did twice, going through the Red Sea and going through Jordan to go to the other side. You see, there's some stuff God wants to get out of all our life. Like it or not, here he comes. Hallelujah. And just when I think I'm one step from the pearly gates, the refiner's fire starts. And if it's God, you can't rebuke it and get it away from you. Just thought I'd say that because that all has to do, I repeat twice now, going to the other side. But I sure want to be free from Pharaoh and all his hosts, principalities and powers. I sure want to see the judgment of God in this generation fall on the demonic powers in this nation. I sure want to see something miraculous in power break upon us, because I don't know about you, but I'm going to the other side. And I expect something supernatural to come to pass, because I've been blessed to be in nations where the judgment of God falls on the demonic system and all of a sudden millions are turning to Christ. Do we want to go to the other side? Now, let's look at what we've got to get in us, both to go but to stay on the other side. I want to talk about being positive people in negative times. Positive people in negative times. Now, I know this sounds weird, maybe my background. Sinful people really don't ill affect me. I expect heathens to talk like heathens. I got a neighborhood full of them, and they come for prayer. Some of them haven't got saved yet. But it doesn't affect me when they use that vocabulary and on and on and on. And, hey, Bill, how you doing today? That doesn't affect me. But what I stay away from, and no offense meant to anybody, maybe offense meant to everybody, I stay away from negative Christians. I got to. Because I want to say this, negativism, the mindset of it, and we're going to examine what it really is, will keep us from going into realms of leadership and authority God wants to bring us into. Negative, 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 negative. You know, I was reading this stuff, and I got to watch it because it's not the way to start the day. It gets me stirred up. It was in a particular Christian magazine, and this guy had seven visions, and he claimed America was going to be destroyed. And you say, what do you think about that? I think it's foolish. In the new covenant, God doesn't want to damn and destroy and judge. He wants to redeem and heal and deliver. We got to know that. And if you want to say God wants to destroy America, go to some of the nations I travel in where they're trafficking their children and all type of genocide has gone on. God in the new covenant so loved the world that he gave his only son. So I don't have any place for the negative prophetic. It's real easy to do. Just turn on CNN. But that's no more prophetic than some of these people are. It's pathetic, but it's not prophetic. And so I want to be a positive person in negative times. We got some negative things to face, but I don't want to be part of the problem. I want to be part of the answer. Do you want to be a church that's part of the answer? I know there's problems with HIV. I work in San Francisco. I know there's problems in racism, but I'm not going to feed that demon. We broke through in Eastern Europe. We had the first African church in the history of Eastern Europe, our family. So I don't want to be a part of the problem. That's negative. I want to be a part of the answer. That's Jesus. And we got to get this in us, because I want to tell you, God is going to raise up in this house positive people in a negative place in negative times. And now, how dangerous is this if we walk in negativism? Let's look in Romans chapter 1. I never realized this till I did a little bit of study and revelation started to flow to me, how powerful negative ways can be to rob us. Romans chapter 1, look at this verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were they thankful, but became vain or empty in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Notice this, they weren't thankful. They got darkened. They became empty in their minds. And verse 22, this is a good one. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I was up at Harvard University, outside of Boston, and I was sitting there feeling all these devils on campus. I was with an African-American friend of mine. And here was their center of world religion. And this guy, he has a degree. And I said, you went there? He said, yeah. I said, well, how was it? He said, the first day, huge classroom, the teacher was real nice. But she said, I'm going to teach you to meditate. And the end of the year, he said, people were sitting around calling on demon power. And here I am speaking in tongues in the midst of professing to be wise, they became fools. But all of that came when they weren't thankful and they got darkened. I want to tell you, the pathway into darkness and deception is being negative. Now, let's look what else happens. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Verse 25. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Mother Earth. Environmentalism. I was witnessing to this girl, and she'd gone to Harvard, and God is after her. She's a New Age, high-level priestess. So I took her out with a pastor, and that was an experience. Let's just say it was in San Francisco, since that's where it was. And here was this girl. We're talking to her about Jesus, and I left the table, and she looked at the pastor's wife. She said, I don't know about this Jesus thing. I find God in Mother Earth. I'm glad the pastor's wife had wisdom. She said, oh, that's good, because Jesus is perfect masculinity and perfect femininity, knowing how to communicate the gospel to a pagan mind. But notice, idolatry, creature worship, and notice what else, verse 26, God gave them up to vile affection. Even the women changed their natural use of that which was against nature, and the men did the same. Homosexuality. My God, I didn't realize till I got into studying this how powerful a destructive force negativism is in the life of a believer. And I want to tell you, we've got to understand, we've got some enemies that have been camouflaged. Like if I was like this one, how would you say, nutcase that used to be on television, he'd be preaching, puffing on a cigar. So if I lit up a cigar here tonight, I guarantee you I wouldn't get the second puff. Hallelujah. And the end of my illustrious ministry here. Yes, Lord. Now, not that I would do that or condone doing that, but I'll tell you, people can stand in a pulpit and be 100% negative and produce a harvest in people you don't want. I want to preach a positive gospel. I want to be a positive demonstration of the kingdom of God. The gospel is not negative. You go, if you don't smoke, don't drink, don't hang around with them that do, or you'll go to hell. Why, you ignoramus, how could you ever preach something and call it the good news? I mean, help us, Jesus. Do we realize what we can be producing if we're verbalizing negative things? And, you know, even the devil knew how to twist the scriptures. But I'm glad it's not the bad news. And I'm glad it's not a fear tactic. I'm glad it's love-based and it's kingdom-based. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is positive. I said it's positive. If it becomes negative, it's because you reject the positive. But here was the breaking down of society. Some believe this is after the Tower of Babel. I don't know if that's emphatic or whatever, but it goes to every form of perversion and every form of breakdown of family and every form of breakdown of covenant. May God make us a people that say, by the grace of God, we're not going to be negative. Because we're going to the other side. We're not going to look at the storms. We're not going to look at people that left church. We're not going to look at what's going wrong in this nation. We're not going to look at people in government who are full of the devil and they open their mouth and we know they're full of the devil. We're going to be a people that are going to choose to walk in the positive voice of the Lord. You see, what got them to the other side wasn't that they could row well or swim well. Particularly Acts 27, that wouldn't go work. What got them to the other side is they heard the word of the Lord. Not I heard. How many have raised kids? Can I see your hands? Or raising? Have you noticed you tell them to clean the room, they say sure, and you come back 2 hours later, they haven't moved an inch? Or was it just my kids? Hallelujah. They heard, but they didn't hear. Because when the Bible talks about hearing, it doesn't mean, yeah, I heard that. It means heeding what you heard. Be doers of the word, not hearers. That's just information. But start doing what you heard. And I tell you, I plan to make some changes because I don't know about you, but still at 65 years old, I'm planning to go to the other side. I'm not planning to get stuck in some traditions and some ruts and some cultural junk that allow me to think in ways that totally oppose going to the other side. You know, I was sitting down with a leader. I won't name which particular Pentecostal denomination, but I sit down with one of their leaders and his wife, and I was trying to convince them, imagine this, about healing in the atonement. And it was like, huh? Am I hearing right? And then hearing them mock the prophetic ministry. I tell you, I don't want to profess to be wise and become a religious fool. Like the Pharisees, they had the scriptures and they had tradition and they had the temple, but they were some of the most foolish people that ever walked the earth, because when the God that gave them the scriptures and the miracles and the temple, when he showed up in human flesh, they crucified him because they were negative to the core. They would pay attention about what you ate, what you drank, what you went to this, what you that. But when the weightier matters of the law, faith which works by love, showed up, they wanted to crucify him. And hear me, negative people will always care about things God could care less about. Negative. Now, I believe there's a hell. Once God took me there in the spirit, and believe me, I want to get out of there fast. I believe there's a hell. But if you study the scriptures, particularly the teaching, the gospels and the epistles, very rarely did the Lord talk about them. That place, or the apostles. It was spoken about, but very rarely. What they did talk about was the kingdom of God and the goodness of God and the miracles of God and the heart of God. Because hear me, when you hear those things, the last place you want to be is eternally separated from all that. Are you glad there's a heaven? Are you glad there's a kingdom? Are you glad there's a call on your life? Are you glad there's a destiny? I'm telling you, I want to avoid negative preaching and negative thinking. And negative people. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. There are some people I love to minister to them. I just won't let them get near my house. Because I don't want that spirit in my home. Do you hear what I'm saying? I was with pastors gathering once. This is real bad. It was in New York. And I was coming back late at night. I didn't want to go to the restaurant. I was too tired. And I saw all these cats. Well, I like cats. And I was going, kip, kip, kip. And then all of a sudden I turned around and I ran, Forrest, ran. It will say, why would you run from a bunch of cats? Because in the midst of the cats, there was a skunk. And believe me, that would have been quite an atmosphere as one of the speakers there, hallelujah, to bring that in the meeting. But you can have something on your life in the spirit that reeks. If somebody comes in with a negative spirit, doesn't it really enlighten the atmosphere? I mean, really make you want to talk to them and hang? No, that thing repels. Repels. May the Holy Spirit give us a vision to be positive people in a negative time. See, what the enemy wants is that we buy into the negative spirit. And may I say, there's going to be some negative things hit this nation very soon. But with positive people can turn them around. Because positive people are going to go to the other side and have the authority to face those legions that are going to show up. But negative people will run. Why do you think Gideon's army, the first thing he told, God told him, say this, whoever's afraid, hit the road. Go home. Get negative people away. May the Holy Spirit give us grace to avoid this trap. Now let's go on 1 Corinthians 10. The danger of being negative. The danger. And, you know, I know drugs is dangerous. Alcoholism is dangerous. If I was somewhere in a liberal state, I could say guns are dangerous, but I don't believe that one. But anyhow, let me show you what a danger is that we ignore. And if you think, I don't have to fight to be positive. Do you remember the prophet Elijah? He destroyed the prophets of Baal. He brought down rain after a 3.5-year drought. He totally saw the fire of heaven come. And I mean, one of the most supernatural days in the history of mankind. And then shortly after, he ran from a woman. And then imagine this. Here's God's man of faith and power under a juniper tree, 1 Kings chapter 18, wanting to die. If you don't think prophetic people or intercessors or anointed men or women have those great battles with negativity, you've never lived close enough to them. I had one of the greatest leaders in the world who's raised up thousands of churches with all type of miracles sit in my home in a semi-breakdown because I told you the other night he needed $1 million in a few weeks' time and he was more than $200,000 maxed out on his credit card. There was no way out. So we all are going to have to battle against negativism. Amen? There's no one who's arrived to be an expert to live above negativism. Amen? If we think we've passed one test, there's more to come, and many times worse. Because if you can't hang it, Jeremiah said, with footmen, what are you going to do when the chariots and the horses arrive? And so God, as we grow in grace and as we go the other side, we'll not be dealing with the minor leagues or little tiny demons, but with principalities that rule cities and nations. I want to keep going to the other side. I said, I want to keep going to the other side. I don't want to get negative. I don't want to buy into what's happening in society because I'm a part of not Adam. I'm in Christ. I want to be in the kingdom. I said, I want to be in the kingdom. Then we can get people out of that into a wholesome, positive lifestyle. We have to avoid the voice of negativism in all our lives. I prophesied over a woman once. I forget where it was. Yeah, Eastern Long Island near New York City. She couldn't get pregnant. I didn't know her at all. And she rejoiced, you're going to have children. A guy was standing at the back. They'd never seen him before. I believe he was into witchcraft. He looked right at her and breathed the breath of hell. And he said, that will never happen. You'll never have children. Are you ready to do what Jesus did? Get thee behind me, Satan. I'm not going to hear a negative voice. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not going to hear a negative voice. Can you say tonight, I'm not going to hear or heed a negative voice? I'm not going to allow the enemy to cause me to forfeit my place when I get to the other side. And hear me. If the devil's not talking to you negative about yourself, he'll be talking to you about your wife or your husband or your children or your brothers and sisters in Christ or your neighbors. I got two neighbors, they won't talk to each other since the 1980s, except when they cuss at each other. And both of them like me. And I'm not going to take any sides. I'm hoping to bring reconciliation. Particularly when one of them gets sober. I hope to bring reconciliation. But it's so easy to get sucked into things that God doesn't want you sucked into. But I plan to keep going to the other side. Because if you look in the life of Christ, it says again and again in the Gospel of Mark, again they went to the other side and again they went to the other side. I got news for you. This year is just the beginning of a lot of new beginnings because God's going to continually take you to the other side. So let's watch something here. Oh, this is going to get good. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now that's in the New Testament. I'm glad at the cross many things were abolished, many things ended, but certain things continued through the cross. One is the law of sowing and reaping. And I sure want it to work in a positive way. How many want a positive return? We'll talk about that in a minute. But notice this. Paul warned the Corinthians, and Corinth was a pagan place where their state religion, what they worshiped those demons. They had temple prostitutes that anyone could go and help yourself to. So it was dark, dark, dark. It was a world center of paganism. And in the midst of that, Paul would raise up something that would become a powerful voice. But boy, he had to bring order. He'd say, hey, don't get drunk at the communion service and don't sleep with your father's wife and crazy stuff. We'd say, but you only have to work in pagan countries till you realize one of the marks of paganism is a lack of morality. So here was Paul writing the Corinthians, and he said this, don't murmur, don't murmur. What is murmuring? I don't like this city, don't like my job, don't like my marriage, don't like this country, don't like the food, don't like this. Don't like this, don't like my family, don't like the money, don't like the president, don't like the Congress. I agree with that. Don't like the this, don't like the that. In other words, gripe, 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 and it's a few non-Christian words to add to that. Hallelujah. And I tell you, if wives don't watch it, you can bring an atmosphere. I've been married to the same woman 42 years. What a blessing. She's never said divorce, murder a few times. But anyhow, never divorce. But I thank God going home from a trip sometime 6 weeks, 8 weeks, it's heaven going home. But I know people that live in hell. That needs to change. One of the ways you can change it is your mouth brings life or brings death. I said your life brings life or death. And wherever you live, it's not the place you live or the culture you live. Hear me. God wants our mouth to bring heaven to the earth. Satan wants our mouth to bring hell to the earth. And I refuse to bring church drama in my house or other type of drama. I don't know why. I thought when the kids got married and moved out, everything would stop. But I've noticed at times it can intensify. Of course, just in my home. Complaining. Thank God we got our health. Thank God we live in America. Do you hear what I'm saying? Thank God we're alive. Because I'm just got a letter from the underground leaders in Iran. They said, pray for us. One of our leaders, a woman, is being tortured now. Are you glad that's not happening right here at this moment? We got food, we got clothes, we got a church, we got our brothers and sisters. What I'm saying, when we praise God, when we're thankful, you'd notice Romans chapter 1, they weren't thankful, and they opened the pits of hell on them in society. This is so important, and I got to fight it, because after some strong anointings, that's when Jezebel comes at me too. And I don't want to be under some tree wanting to die. I want to taste and see the Lord is good. I want to be refreshed, and I want my mouth when I'm at a time of weakness and time of sickness to keep shut. You know, I've made one statement. This confession time will be good. Roman Catholics now. I've made one statement. That's taken 2 weeks to reverse. How about you? Study the book of Proverbs, what the tongue can do. Opening hell to your life. Destroying. James, making your faith empty before others. My goodness, we need discipline, not just going to the gym, but we need some discipline. And I said, notice me too, with our mouths. My son lives in a Latin culture in Romania. My goodness, how those people love to talk about everyone else. Oh, hallelujah. You know, just like in parts not 1,000 miles around here, everything's a sin except eating and gossiping. And you know, gossip is a form of murmuring, talking poison. I tell you, if I get to know any of you well, and you get to know me well, we'll have plenty of junk to talk about when you go down the road. But when you do, the destroyer is released. May the Spirit of God give us self-government. The pilgrims used to talk about that, and Puritans. Theonomy, self-government, self-government. God wants us to govern ourselves by the Spirit of God, because people, it's very easy to see negativism. It's very easy to be negative about others. The way they dress, the way they talk, the way they act, the way their kids act. You ever notice how easy it is to be negative about someone else's kids? Of course, the danger is when you sow that, people go be negative about your kids. And that's why do you think Peter said, love will cover what? A multitude of sins. We've got to fight a negative judgmental culture. Because that's some of the phoniness that goes on in the South. You know, you judge everyone else to cover your own tracks. And like I said, my father's from Mississippi, so I know something about this neck of the woods. And I bless what's of God, and I stand against what isn't. But I just want to tell you, we've got to break with every culture that doesn't agree with Scriptures and the Word of God and the Kingdom of God. We've got to stop following religious stuff that's so negative that goes nowhere but at dead-end streets. God's looking for the church here and the church everywhere to become so positive that He can trust us with revelation. The Lord once told me, if you want revelation, you have to keep your mouth shut. That is, to see things and know things about others. One of my spiritual fathers who went to be with the Lord at 87, he told me about his mother who was at Azusa Street. How many know Azusa Street? And this was a great prophetess of God. She'd travel with Mara Woodworth Edder, was at Azusa Street. She had six kids, and in the middle of the Great Depression, her husband left to never come back. They could have starved, but she was a woman of faith and prayed through all of her six kids and prayed through the finance, and three of them had worldwide ministries. But he told me this woman had helped pray into existence the largest church in New York City in her generation. And a woman that worked with her worked with me, so there was an ongoing impartation of God, thank God. But he shared with me, he said, my mother was once in prayer, and all of a sudden she was taken in the spirit into a pastor's office, a well-known guy in New York City area. And she saw a blonde come in, and she left, then a brunette, then a redhead come in, and various things. And the Lord said, he has not fallen yet, but he's going to. Go and warn him. So she came in, and he said, oh, Sister Crandall, wait a minute. Let me tell you what I saw. She shared the vision. He literally fell out of his seat, lunged forward, hit the ground, and said, it's true, Mother Crandall. That's what they called her. She said, brother, God didn't send me here to expose you. God sent me here to deliver you. And got that guy free, and he became one of the biggest voices in the Northeast unto his death. And she never told that even to her son until 20 years after the man was dead. See, if we want to be trusted by the Spirit of God with secrets that can destroy lives, or secrets about what God's going to do, and if the wrong people found out about it, they could oppose it, we've got to be a people that are tight-lipped. No, that's not covering sin. It's like, it's dealing with sin the way Jesus would, with love, with integrity, undoing the works of Satan without destroying the victim. May the Spirit of God eradicate in my life, in your life, murmuring. You know, the way this is, the way that is, the way people talk, the way people walk, the way people dress, the way people work, the way people don't work, the way this and the way that, the way the whites act, the way the blacks act, the way the Indians act, the way the mixed race act, the way the Asians act. Hear me! We all act like sinners apart from the grace of God. So let's keep quiet about evil and sin in the lives of others, and let's fall on our face and be positive in intercession to break the strongholds of hell. See, if we're going to the other side, and I include myself, we've got to change some of the way we talk and some of the way we walk. I was on a plane. The woman says, I can pick up some southern accent in your voice. I said, let me tell you what happened. I grew up in Europe, and the last 2 years I lived with some people from Texas, and they ruined my European accent. God bless their souls. Hallelujah. They had the anointing. That was all right. I could suffer whatever else. Seriously, it is human nature to be unthankful. It is human nature to talk about others in ways we shouldn't. It is human nature to find fault. It is human nature to criticize. But that's not God's nature. I said, that's not God's nature. That's not God's nature. And to go to the other side and move in the supernatural and the influence heaven wants us to have another spirit. Joshua and Caleb, who went to the other side, God said of them, they have another spirit. How many want another spirit than those round about that are destroying themselves? Oh, hallelujah. You know, we can put on religious clothes and have the same spirit as people outside these doors. I don't want to be a part of the fig leaf fellowship like Adam and Eve. Phony cover-up. No. God wants us to be positive people in negative times, where we can go into such negative things, people destroying their homes and destroying their minds and destroying the children, and bring a positive word and turn things around. Because wherever Jesus came, remember Mark chapter 4, he said, peace be still, shut up to this demonic stuff. And all of a sudden, what was deadly and destructive became a platform for the miraculous power of God. Positive people in negative times. Now, I don't like having negative things happen, bad things happen, all hell break loose, this and this and this. But I want to tell you this, and I want to tell me this. If I had a mirror here, I'd be looking at it. probably preach it nicer, but anyhow, I'd be looking at, if you don't like your harvest, if you don't like your harvest, start planting new seed. See, God in his love and wisdom didn't send me to Bible school because I'd have got thrown out of them in those days. Probably still would. But anyhow, where he trained me was in the ghettos of New York City and the ghettos of Europe. And I like to preach in ghettos because people are so down and out. They're open. I said, they're open. And they got nothing left. Some of them lost fathers, mothers, children. I mean, everything that could go wrong is gone wrong. But I see those people in Harlem, in New York City, on the streets, tears running down their face saying, we want our kids not to be destroyed. We want your God. We want Jesus. And I never had any trouble in the inner cities. I've had a lot of trouble outside of inner cities and suburbs, though. But I want to say this. Wherever you bring the positive gospel, like in the days of Ezekiel, what was destroyed and was dead, God resurrected it supernaturally. And we've got some resurrecting to do in North America right now. There's some negative stuff. I mean, I can take you in California where they're teaching five-year-old children the most gross forms of perversion in school. I can take you throughout my neighborhood, just you sense the witchcraft and the occult, and you got people there from India, and you got people from all over the world, and you got people into such darkness. Think some of them come to me for prophecies that don't even know Jesus. Jesus, the light of the world, wants us to become so positive in the midst of impossibilities, in the midst of leaking ship, in the midst of winds and waves. There's a people that carry the word of the Lord to alter society and alter the church world. So I don't want to tell you this. If Paul wrote this to the Corinthians, and if we look at the harvest that's in too many believers' lives, we've got to plant new seed. If you want to go to the other side, what seed are you planting for your harvest? I want to speak words of love, words of kindness, words of forgiveness, words of hope. Like I was talking to a man from the Middle East yesterday, from a particular part of the Middle East. If he's found out, his wife is put to death immediately because she was a radical Muslim that got saved. So it's a very dangerous ministry. But he was talking about someone that just got out of prison. And before this guy got out of prison, imagine this, his wife wrote some letters about how he was abusive and this and this. And those letters got online. So he's in jail in the Middle East for his faith, and he was messed up in some sin. And so here are Christians talking about this and that. You know what God came on me and said this? I said, look, there's not a man or a woman on the face of the earth that doesn't have issues. Let's not finish this guy off who's been under torture for 3 years. And yes, he had a porn problem, and yes, he had abusive problems. But it's time for the church to cease being a place of wounding and become a place of healing. And I don't want to be a part of destroying that guy's life. I want to be a part of restoring that guy's life. I want to be positive. Like when it was the scandals in the 80s about all these evangelists falling, and this guy was mocking it one day. I was working nights and traveling days then, and he was mocking out this one and that. I went up and grabbed him so he couldn't get away, and I said, won't it be something when your sins are found out? He was and ran. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, when it turns on us, it's a little different. Positive, like God is positive. He's positive in mercy. He's positive in grace. He's positive in miracles. Because hear me, if anyone could send anyone to hell now, he could but won't. Because he doesn't want any to perish. So, Bill, watch your mouth. I'll try, Lord. Watch what gets in your mind. You're thinking bad And hear me, when I'm talking this, I'm not talking false mercy that some people have that have absolutely no discernment. You know, somebody's working for you and robbing you blind. You call that love, letting them be a thief. That's not love. That's being a sucker. That's not love. Hear me, God gave you that money to bless the church and bless the earth and help people, not let some ripoff artist take it from you. Friends we are, suckers we aren't. Amen. But watch your mouth, watch your mind, plant seed. that's good. Because let's look in Hebrews 4, and this put the fear of God in me when I was studying it the other day. Do we want to go to the other side into our promised land? Do we want to go where we've never gone? Okay, let's look what happens to some people. Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of any of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Chapter 4, verse 2 of Hebrews. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You mean God gave them the promised land. God gave them his promises. God said it was theirs forever. And that didn't represent heaven. That represented the kingdom of God on earth, because there's no giants in heaven. But God gave it to them by promise, but they chose not to mix faith with the promises of God. And people, negativism, when they said we can't, negativism when they got discouraged, negativism when they believed an evil report, kept them out of their inheritance and their promised land. And I want to say this to you dear people here. Whatever you have to do, don't believe evil reports. Whatever you have to do, don't believe the lies of the enemy. When things are beyond your ability to conquer, because God has said you're going to the other side, stand on the word of God and say, we will not be negative, we will be positive, because God is with us. That's why with the book of Psalms said, hey guys, to the following generations, it wasn't Joshua that brought them into the promised land or the people in their own strength. There were seven more mighty nations than them. It was God that gave them those victories. How can we break free of negativism? I want to do this real quick. Go to the book of Luke, chapter 24. I like this account of the Emmaus Road. They were depressed. Two guys on a road outside Jerusalem, they were depressed. Ever felt that? And when they were talking, verse 15 of Luke 14, it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were affected that they didn't know him. And he said, what manner of communications are you having and you walk and you're so sad or depressed? And they start saying, you don't know anything about this? Everybody's talking about Jesus Nazareth, and he died. We thought he was going to be the answer. He died, and some women saw him 3 days later. They said, risen. We don't know that any of that happened. Verse 25, he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them the scriptures concerning himself. He acted like he was going to go on. Verse 30, verse 29, they said, stay with us. It's evening time. Verse 30, it came to pass as he sat at meat with them and took bread. He blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. Their eyes were open, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said, didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the way and while he opened us the scriptures? Let me tell you how you can become positive. Walk with God. I said, walk with God. Develop your relationship with the Lord. It's no such thing as coming to church and that's your life. God in Christ. Come to church, but not just come to church. Be the church. Walk with God. Develop a walk. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Abraham walked with God. Paul, Ephesians 5, walk in love and walk in light and walk in faith. God's looking for people that will cultivate a relationship that Jesus can draw near to them and open his word to them. And I want to tell you this, the more communion I have with the Lord Jesus Christ, the more positive I get. I don't want to live on yesterday's manna or try to store it up. It rots. It stinks. I want some fresh bread and fresh oil. Are there some people in this generation and in this hour, you want fresh bread from heaven and fresh oil from the throne? God wants you to have it. But as they walked with him, all of a sudden, the negativism, when they heard the word, and all of a sudden they saw, my God, we thought he was dead, but he's alive and he's been with us and we didn't even recognize it. Like in Mark 4, they didn't recognize he was on board and well alert though he was sleeping. The walk with God. More important than anything is not our talk, but our walk. Because our walk determines our talk. Everything changed. You didn't travel in those days at night because the bandits were out. But it says in verse 33, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they said, it's right, the Lord's risen. And then he appeared to them all. I will tell you, I want to be someone who gets such a revelation of Jesus Christ that no danger affects me. I can go where others won't go and do what others won't do. Because Jesus has set the Word of God on fire on the inside. And I'm not negative. He's crucified. We thought this was going to happen, that going to happen. That was just false evidence. You know, there's false evidence that we've got to ignore. If we listen to the news and we look at breakdown of society and we look at breakdown of morals and look at breakdown of finance and look at this and that, you can begin to get a worldview that's so negative that you depress others and yourself whenever you share it or thank it. But I tell you, God wants to open our eyes that Jesus is with us in this hour. And he wants the Word of God to be set on fire. His Word in my heart was like burning fire, Jeremiah said, shut up in my bones. God wants to set the Word on fire in this church, in your lives, that there would be a people when others are hiding behind doors, you're running to share the good news that he is risen indeed. Walking with God breaks negativity. Or you can keep believing the bad news. Now, we shared last night, Acts 27, went on the boat and everything was negative. They hadn't seen the stars for days. The moon hadn't come out, no sun, and there was a storm beyond a storm. It was like hopeless. There was no way to get out of it. That seems pretty negative. All hope that they should be saved was taken away. All of a sudden, Paul stands up. Now imagine this. He was a prisoner. Paul stands up and he said to all of them, to the soldier in charge, the officer in charge, you should have listened to me. That's bold, amen? You should have listened to me. None of this would have happened. But I got good news for you guys. I thought you'd like to hear this. An angel just showed up to me this night and said, Paul, you got to get to Rome, and these guys that are with you, 276 other people, it wouldn't look good you show up without them. So you go get there, Paul. And Paul said, I want you guys to know this, when all hell's still breaking loose, the storm. He said, I believe God, it's going to be just what was told to me, because the angel said, Paul, don't be afraid. You got to get to Rome. You got to get to Caesar, and I'm sending you there. Are you glad when the ongoing Word of God, that is, Paul had the Scriptures. Paul had angelic visitation. Paul had the supernatural as a lifestyle. Here he was in something that he needed, an ongoing Word. And it came. And may I say this, the American Christians right now need a fresh word from God to be positive people in negative times. And I was taken in the spirit years ago in Eastern Europe. And I saw, I was asleep, but I was taken in the spirit. That's kind of weird. But I was taken in the spirit when I was asleep. And I saw a tremendous revival in America. I wasn't thinking about America. But I woke up. My whole arms were, the hair on my arms was standing up as such electrifying presence of God. And the Lord spoke and he said, revival is coming to America. So I don't care who's in the White House or who's in your house. I don't care what's going right or what's going wrong. I've heard from God and it's going to be like it was told me. I will be a positive voice in negative times. You say, can there be terrorism? Can there be death? Can a lot of things can go negative. It has from the beginning of time. My apostolic friend Cambodia, he told me one of his missions compounds, there was a pastor and his two kids. Some devil threw a hand grenade in, killed the two kids and almost the pastor and his wife. That's negative. But it didn't stop the Cambodian revival. Hear me, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Do we understand, dear church? We're called to be positive people in negative times. Because it didn't say in the scriptures all things are good, but it says all things for the believer work together for good. May the Spirit of God raise us up to be positive people in negative times. And I say it's real easy to preach this. It's a real challenge to live this. Because our natural self, all of our natural selves, is negative. We all have failure, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all have frustrations. We all have attacks. We all have setbacks. We all have negative things in our background, or maybe any negative things facing us right now that we got to go home to. But I got something to tell you. It's good news. It's called the gospel. And I believe the God we serve is so positive. I said it's so positive. When he could have and should have destroyed the world forever, he didn't. There was a rainbow in the sky. And I got good news for you. That rainbow represented the covenant. It doesn't belong to the New Age or to the homosexuals. That rainbow represents the covenant of God's love and grace. He's not going to destroy the world again by flood. I tell you, my God is a merciful God, and I believe our God is going to release such a positive faith and a positive love and a positive anointing into this church this year that you're going to the other side. Let's give him a victory shout tonight. Yesterday it was more explosive in one way, but here is instruction. If we don't focus on being positive, I've known churches that have and movements that have had great revival, and people, because of the intensity of the persecution or the attack or the challenges or the need of consecration, walked out of their promised land. Died without what God had for them. I want to be a positive person. I said, I want to be a positive person in negative times. One of the most powerful prophets I ever knew. He was very powerful in public. You got to know him personally. He was one of the most negative people I've ever seen. Because he had wounds he didn't allow God to heal. And he was always failing himself and others because he had such unscriptural standards. And I feel sorry for him. He's still alive today, but oh, he's been anointed, but he's been miserable in the middle of it. I want to enjoy my life in God. Do you want to enjoy your life in God? And I want to enjoy the ministry, not endure the ministry. Hallelujah. And if people are upset with me being joyful, like they were in Hungary, one guy came to me, you laugh too much, you joke too much. And you know what I told him? This was tremendous, you know, humility on my behalf. I said, I won't submit to your religious spirit. That kind of got my point across. Hallelujah. I won't allow people to make me negative, make me miserable, make me religious, hold me back from my promised land, because I've seen too many good people allow woundings and family and pressures and negative things to poison them, make them negative, and keep them from being a part of the answer and make them a part of the problem. May God let you know to go to the other side. You've got to cease just letting Jesus cause your storms to stop. He wants to, through your faith, stop the storms without just crying out to him. He's looking for you to rise up like Moses did and stretch out your hand and open the sea and rise up in authority, because God is looking for a people that walk like Jesus walked. Men and women of authority that can go to the other side. May you be positive people in negative times. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. As we close tonight, it is my heart, as I've prayed many hours today, for this word to saturate you, because God loves to go to places that are depressed, bound by poverty, bound by witchcraft, bound by sin, bound by drugs, and miraculously turn them around, because that's what the gospel's all about. And the way we turn them around is we use our mouth to speak the word. We use our mouth to speak the gospel. We use our mouth to speak miracles. And we thank those thoughts. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever pure, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Allow your mind to be positive. I said, allow your mind to be positive, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. By the grace of God, church, there needs to be such a positive working of God's Spirit in us, because the only way we'll break negativism is be of another spirit. People going to the other side must be positive people in negative times, like the Lord was. You realize when he was going to be crucified, that was the worst torture that ever came on any man, because he's going to bear the sins of the human race. And he said this, but I'm going to come out of this 3 days later. He saw the worst, but he saw the best. And for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. May a Christ-like attitude to be supernaturally positive in the midst of negative times fall upon us in Jesus' name. May positive thinking, like Paul told the Philippians 4:8, come upon us in Jesus' name. And may we be people that can go to negative people and broken lives and broken families and broken churches and broken cities with the positive good news of the kingdom of God and turn it around. We don't need religion. We need the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. Positive people in negative times. You can hide behind your stuff. You can hide behind your upbringing. You can hide behind your family. But I don't want to hide anymore. I want to be real. I want to be positive too. Like my Lord was positive when he said, go tell the disciples and Peter. Peter had fallen apart. But God built him back up and used him to be an apostle. Gideon, you're a man of valor. Me? I'm hiding here. And you know what the word Gideon meant? Warrior. He didn't look like a warrior. He looked like a wimp. But hear me, God doesn't see you like you are. He sees you in himself like you're going to be. Positive people in negative times. Guy who was just murdering and destroying the church. He got blinded by the glory. Saul of Tarsus, and Ananias said, Brother Saul, it took a lot of faith to say that one. He said, you're going to be a leader, an apostle to the heathen world and to the Jews and to world leaders. And just a few days before, he was out to destroy the church. Aren't you glad? God we serve is a positive God in negative times. He is so merciful. He's so powerful.